Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Join me as we always do every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And as we do, we always begin with song, scripture, and prayer. And tonight we'll hear Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams.
Open my heart.
Tonight we will be reading Romans 5, 1 through 10. Brother Brian, are you able to get that? Romans 5, 1 through 10. If not, I can read it. So it'll take you a few minutes. Hello, should I read it? Hello, anybody there?
Sure. My headset blinked out right as you were describing which scripture, so I'm changing headsets.
As would you want to read Romans 5, 1 through 11?
I can, yes. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer, and we will come directly back to that Romans passage in just a few minutes. God, we come before You tonight, and we're just asking that You would continue to lead, guide, and direct us as we come to Your Word, that You would direct us so that we could understand what it is that You want us to know, so that You could walk with us and talk with us and empower us to have true meaning and understanding, so that as we come before Your Word, as we seek Your face, You will be revealed and we'll truly understand what it is that You want us to know through this Bible study, as we study becoming Your best friend. Well, we love You, we magnify Your name, and we glorify You tonight as we decided to pick up this passage and look at Romans 5, 1 through 11, and to examine several passages so that we can get a clearer understanding of what it means to be a friend of God. So walk with us tonight. Talk with us. Make it plain what it is that You'd like us to know so that we can walk in a closer relationship with You. We thank You. We praise Your name. As we learn, Lord, to understand what we are here on earth for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, this is Dr. Susie, and just so glad that, you know, everybody has joined us tonight, and we're in the process of looking at what it means to be best friends with God, what it means to look at being best friends with God. Amen. So, Brother Brian, as we look at this text tonight, just kind of curious, you know, what is it that makes you feel special about the idea of becoming friends with God? What is it that comes to mind when you think about that?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is how I could not be a friend of God without Jesus Christ's gift of salvation and the hope that that brings. That is how I can be a friend of God and have any hope at all of having a good relationship with God, that He may show me favor through that salvation.
Amen. Amen. And I don't know about you, Brian, but when I think about this, I really, really get excited about a closer walk, about intimacy, and what that looks like with God. And, you know, this Bible study tonight is a hint on what we need to do to be able to have that ideal relationship that we often talk about. What we need to do to have that ideal relationship. So, Brian, when you hear becoming best friends with God, for me, the first thing I thought about, to be honest, was the intimacy, being close to God, being able to talk to God. I thought about people like Moses and Enoch and all those other people who had that intimate relationship with God. And then I began to think about the people who had it rough because they had an intimate relationship with God. The people that, you know, God said, look, I'm not going to tolerate this stuff. So, like in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we find that God was not always easy. He was very direct and challenging. And if you, you know, intolerant of any sin. So today we fall short so many times. It's like, you know, could we, what would that be like today, you know, to be a friend of God? And then we think about Jesus Christ, who came to bridge the gap so that we could actually do that very thing, so that the veil was broken in two, it was rent in two, so that we now have direct access. And I don't know about you, Brian, but because I know that, because I've experienced that, it's a honor and a privilege. So how about you? What are you thinking?
Well, that's a very important aspect of this scripture, is that since we have the opportunity through salvation to be best friends with God, we can't miss that opportunity. You know, we really need to focus on developing ourselves to be closer to God, to sense Him through the Holy Spirit, to commune through prayer as often as possible. If we could do that continually, that would be the best case scenario. But we're human beings, life happens, jobs happen, we have many distractions here on earth, but the more we can turn to Him in prayer throughout the day, throughout our earthly walk, regardless of what the circumstances are that are happening around us, the closer we're going to develop that friendship, and the more binding in our minds and close to Him in our minds that we're going to be. And that's what He wants. There's something that we don't understand special that happens when we revere Him and pray to Him and submit to him and just develop that relationship. And it's so important, even though we don't know what it is exactly, that, you know, the apostles and Jesus in red letter text tells us to do it, tells us to pray continually, to commune, to continue to revere God, to worship him, to adore him. It's just simply an important aspect of our human life.
Amen. Amen. So let's go to the text and see what the text is saying. I think we should look at Romans 5, 1 through 11. Romans 5, 1 through 11. And when you get there, Brian,
That's the scripture that I read at the beginning.
That's the one you just read. Right.
Yes.
So I don't know if you had turned up from there or not, but that's where I am. Romans 5, 1 through 11. And so we're going to look at this and break the scripture down and see what we feel that God is saying. Romans 5, 1 through 11. And so we want our audience to join with us as we look at this. Romans 5, 1 through 11.
Well, the very first...
You were saying?
The very first part of verse 1, where it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, and that's an incredibly profound part of that verse, because we have been made right in God's sight by faith. Otherwise, the friendship can't happen. You know, that first statement is the cement or the foundation of the whole concept of being God's friend.
Well, the exciting part about this for me is when we look at that very portion that says therefore. And it's the therefore, whenever you encounter a therefore in the text, you always go back to understand what happened prior to that. But the reality of the therefore is that we have been justified by faith. And the way it's written in the text that I'm looking at, it says, since we have been justified in verse 9 through faith, meaning that something has happened and we understand what that is, and is that what Jesus Christ did on the cross has been that very thing that has bridged the gap for us, that allows us to keep on enjoying having peace with God, because it was made through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross and became the atoning sacrifice for us. When Christ died again, we talked about how the curtain was rent from top to bottom. And now, because of that, we don't have to do the sacrificial system, but we can go directly to God. We have direct access to the Lord again, as Adam and Eve did in the garden. And one of the most precious things that occurred is that they had the opportunity to walk and talk with God. They didn't have to have someone to pray on their behalf, but they could talk with God directly, just kind of like Moses did and the times of old, Noah, and we think of Enoch and all the people that had that special relationship with God. And so we too can rejoice we too can be excited, counting it pure joy, hallelujah, that we have this opportunity to have a love relationship with God. And it's thrilling to me. It's exciting to me. There's hope. And it's this hope that God has poured out God's love in our hearts, that God has created through the relationship with the Holy Spirit, that which allows the believers, those of us who accept Christ as our personal Savior because of what he's done on the cross, that we have that hope in God, the promise of God's glory, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity that is with us, that we are present with. And the moment that we accept Christ, we are sealed as a child of God through the Holy Spirit. That's exciting to me. And, you know, knowing that I belong to the Lord, knowing that his Holy Spirit dwells with me, knowing that he has begun a good work in me and will bring it to completion, I can celebrate. And my choice, what I do, what I choose to do by, you know, if I want to be intimately in relationship with God, if I want to choose to do more than just come to church and listen to the word, but to be a disciple, to be obedient to whatever it is that God tells me to do, to grow, to move from being a child to being a young adult to being an adult and then being a disciple myself. All these options and choices that I get from just simply choosing to walk and be God's best friend. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now that was a mouthful. So that's where we are tonight. We are looking, we are examining, we're preparing, and we're trusting the Lord to work in our lives. Amen. Amen. So, Brother Brian, you know, based on what I just shared, did you have any feedback or responses, or did that trigger anything exciting in your head?
Well, it definitely triggers the excitement that we have that opportunity, and we have that opportunity not only every day but every minute. Shouldn't take lightly that chance to continue to build that relationship with him, to develop that closeness, because he has offered us so much, so much more than the earth offers us. If we take our attention off the earthly and on him, the benefits of the earthly things really diminish. They can become even trite.
Amen. So, when we see this text and we start to break it down, what, Brian, as you've read it, you know, you were the first one to read this tonight out loud, you know, what is it that jumped out at you in this scripture in 1 through 11 that kind of just wouldn't let you go?
I think that the concept that I described earlier, where we were hopeless and are hopeless without salvation. So all of us have spent part of our life in that utterly helpless, sinful state where we were not saved. And many people spend their entire life in that state. But by the glory of God, and praise him forever, many of us reach that point where we're able to submit to him and accept Christ as our Savior. And things change for us. Sure, we're still sinners, but we have now cemented a future in the glory of God that is permanent. It's everlasting. It's more than enormous. It's much bigger than any English word we have that can really try to describe it. But it also strikes me that surrounding me all around my daily walk here on Earth are people who have not had that opportunity, or have not taken that opportunity, or have not submitted to that opportunity. And they're still walking wounded. You know, they're still literally utterly helpless. Not only do they not have a relationship with God Almighty that they're developing, they don't even really give him much thought. I can see that as I interact with other people. You can tell often fairly quickly who has the light of Christ within them and who does not. And I just thank God every day that I was given that clear opportunity and just had the wisdom to accept it and submit myself
Amen.
In that time.
Amen.
Because I know that.
Hi, this is Joan in Maine.
Hello.
Go ahead and finish, Brian.
So,
also, just wanted to inform that I'm here. Go ahead and continue, Brian.
You know, so as I continue to develop that friendship, and I continue to discipline myself to put him in the first place, but the number one place, the primary spot in my friendship, I'm reminded of the need to talk to other people as well, and the need to share the message and the good news, so that they don't go through their entire life and die without knowing him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For those of you who have just joined us tonight, we were talking about Romans 5, 1 through 11. And Brian was just really giving us a good wrap up about that. So we have several people who joined us tonight. So would you all introduce yourselves? I heard you, Joan. Is there anybody else who's on the line?
Okay.
This is James. I'm on the line.
Okay. Nice to hear you, James. Anybody else join us tonight? Amen. Amen. So there are others on the line, and those of you who might want to just listen tonight or just let you know that we acknowledge that you're on the line. And if there's anything you want to say, all you need to do is introduce yourself and just go into whatever explanation we have. We have a lot of people on the line that have different perspectives, and so we listen to one another. And we share where we are, but everybody may not have the exact same perspective. But we learn to study together, to come and let's reason together. So does anyone else have anything that we've been talking about, how important it is to have this relationship with God? And we read Romans 5, 1 through 11. And we were asking if there's anybody else who had something that jumped out at them from hearing that scripture. Does anybody have the Message Bible?
Not me.
So I can read it from the Message again if those of you who are still here would like to hear another version, and you could comment on your perspectives about what jumps out at you with this text. So Romans chapter 5, Brian, what was the version you were reading?
It was a New Living Translation.
It was a New Living Translation? Okay, I have the Message. It says, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him. We have it all together with God because of our Master. Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He has already thrown open His doors to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how trouble can develop passionate patience in us and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged, quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented Himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can't understand someone dying for a person we're dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selflessly sacrifice. But God put His love on the line for us by offering His Son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to Him. Now that we are set right with God by means of this sacrificial death, the consummate blood sacrifice, there is no longer a question of being at odds with God in any way. If when we were at our worst, we were put on friendly terms with God by the sacrificial death of His Son, now that we're at our best, just think of how our lives will expand and deepen by means of His resurrection life. Now that we have actually received this amazing friendship with God, we are no longer content to simply say it is implodding prose. We sing and shout our praises to God through Jesus, the Messiah. Amen. So,
amen.
For those who had not heard the text, I reread it in a different translation. So, we ask that you put your phones on mute because we can hear everything in your background. And then whenever you get ready to speak, make sure you take it off of mute so that we can hear what you have to say. Amen. Amen.
This is James. I just wanted to say that I'm really moved by where you started, verse 6, all the way through to 11, where Christ died for the ungodly. And I think that speaks volumes to us, that when we think that we have to get ourselves right in order to be pleasing to God, Christ died for us just as we are. And I think that's a revelatory thing that ought to move us to understand that we don't have to get ourselves right. We can't get ourselves right. But Christ died for us and loved us anyway. And that's exciting to me, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So that doesn't mean, and you know, and I think sometimes we have the concept in church that people are supposed to act a certain way, and then that makes them acceptable. But we're acceptable to God just as we are when we come to God in faith, and then God gets in us and we become a part of God, and then we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. So our minds are changed, our thoughts are changed, but we can't do that by ourselves. And it's being submissive to God's will and to God and allowing God to work in us. And I think that's amazing, that God died for us even when we were messed up.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else? Joan, did you want to respond to that as well?
It seems like he said it exactly how I like to hear it too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
He was
okay. Hello, is anybody there? All right.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Susie.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was really, really important to me is that, you know, I'm in line with both Brian and James that I'm looking at. It says, that God loved us when we were enemies. And that makes me cry every time. Because I think, Lord, I don't want to be an enemy of yours.
Yes.
That's so harsh. I don't want to be God's enemy. I want to be God's love. And the idea of being God's enemy hurts me. And I know there are times in my life where God and I are not close because I've fallen short. And that hurts me because I never want to be God's enemy. So as we're looking at the book tonight, we're talking about what we have to do to be best friends with God. And we already talked about the ideal relationship that God had with Adam and Eve. We already talked about the great relationships that God had with Abraham, who was called a friend of God, or David, who called him a man after God's own heart, or Enoch, who walked with God and just walked right on up to heaven with God and, you know, never transitioned whatsoever. But, you know, and I think when, you know, after the flood and when we fell so short and God was sorry that he had made man, that we understand that we had no longer kept that relationship because we sinned and there was this gulf between us. And thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ changed the situation and became the atoning sacrifice for us and bridged the gap. And so, you know, the songs that the book talks about is what a friend we have in Jesus, and the scripture that says, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business, but I call you friends because he's told us everything that he learned from the Father. And, you know, wow. You know, wow. Intimate relationship with God. And so I ask each of you on the line tonight, do you have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? And it's not just with Jesus, but with the Trinity, with God. And, you know, that's one of the things I think God wants us to think about. Do we have that intimate relationship, you know, with God? And, you know, all three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So, you know, is there anybody who'd like to kind of talk about how they know they have that intimate relationship and what it's like? Just to get a personal perspective. Dr. Nooks, would you be open to sharing?
This is Joan from Maine. I'd like to share that because one of the best experiences I've ever had to recognize that how important that is, an intimate with God. And we always think and concern about our humanness in what we want so much. And it reminded me of this, there's a word that you just done into me. It says over here, okay, I got it. Romans 6, chapter Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal body to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. And
amen.
It is so easy now to read this one, because I understand the meaning of it. And the meaning to it is that how do you want your dead from death to life? How do you do that? If you really look at the walking dead on this earth, I call it the walking dead because it's so common anyway. It's a trend with all these movies about walking dead. There's no such souls in their own body. They're lost. There's no mind. It's all wickedness. So in giving that relationship to God as a friend, as a love, as an intimately, spiritually speaking, it's much more. It's much more than the human intimate. And I try to understand it so much, because why do I have to turn around? And when you speak about it, it makes you really emotional, because it's so good. It feels so nice. It makes it so holy. It's a joy that you feel, because it is true now. I understand what it feels for being intimate with your partner, and then being intimate with God. It's a beautiful difference. And so it's easy to understand without the partner and the difference. And it's easy to find more of an intimate with God, is because he will put a lot. Once you clear all those negative out from your body, and once everything is pure in you, he, in his own timing, he will give you a door that is open, and you could feel all that holiness, a very divine feeling in your heart, mind, and soul, and peace. Peace is just an understanding. It's just so beautiful. And with that, you cannot compare. It's uncomparable. It's just, it makes you stronger. It makes you fearless. It makes you sacrificially all for God. And then the understanding is, he will not let you be, no matter how, especially when you stick with him and you have that great relationship. So the intimate of it is, feel that he's walking hand in hand with you. That's how close it is. That even one word, Lord, could you do this for me? I cannot understand it. And he'll open the door so quickly and so fast, especially now, especially at this time of moments. It's very... So it makes you quiet when people will speak about against him and doubt him and everything like that. You just have to keep quiet, because I wish they would know how that feels, the feeling of being with him. And there would be a feeling of peace in their heart and mind and soul, like full of love, that they could even have a strong, how do you call it? You have that... The one that he will share is the love that he had. He will put it in you, that it will be easier to give it to others, and they could even feel it. And it's amazing how that could work. From that experience, I cannot ever forget it. For being human and never had any experience like being in heaven or any death like that, to gain that kind of experience, it's more than beautiful. And just thought I would like to share that one. Never really shared that more.
This is my first time to share that.
Amen. Amen. Is anybody else like to share, Jane?
I was on mute. Yeah, to have a relationship with God and Jesus and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, is a change in your life.
Yes.
But we don't always have everything good.
Right.
From a human perspective, because Paul said himself, there's a war going on inside of me. When I would do good, evil is always present. But God
right.
tells us in his word that he would make a way for us when things were difficult. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to have difficult times. It just means that a way would be made for us. The main thing that's different in having a relationship with God is that God is with you. I'm reminded of the story of Jesus when they were in a storm and he was sleeping in the boat, and the disciples came and said to him, "Master, you know, we are perishing. Why don't you wake up?" And he got up and said, "Peace be still." And the message is that if Jesus is in the boat with you, you're going to make it. And you might face some storms. There might be storms all around you, but God being with you makes all the difference in the world. No matter what situation you're in, to understand that the master of the universe thinks enough of you, enough of me, and loves me and you enough that he would abide in us, even though we are lacking and we mess up over and over again, God still loves us. And to think that God would abide in us and walk with us and be with us and be present in us. And if you're saved, then God is a part of you, and you're a part of God, and that's something to rejoice about. And we often do have deliverances. We have great gifts that God gives us, but we also have a Savior that's with us even through the difficult times. And I don't know about anybody else, but I've been through some. And it made all the difference in the world to me to know that God was with me through those times.
Well said. Amen.
Amen.
Is there anybody else on the line who'd like to have a comment? If not, we'll go on to the further part of the Bible study. And we talked about the intimacy and the specialness about that relationship. But I want to kind of get a feedback from everybody that if you really believe that God wants to be in a passionate relationship with you, then do we talk to God on a regular? So, you know, I kind of want to hear from you guys about, do you really believe that you can have a intimate best friend type relationship with God if we don't talk to God? We don't have constant conversation.
This is Joan from Maine, and I just wanted to share how I have mine is, because there wasn't anybody trying to, they cannot understand me. They cannot understand the joy of what I have learned about it, thinking that I thought they can relate because they're all Christians. Apparently, that was a lot of a struggle for me because I don't get it. And being such joy to have that understanding, I didn't realize that there's a lot of people who did not understand that. At any rate, yes, I noticed that I talk a lot with him, and I used to remember that I stutter and I cannot think of anything that I wanted to say. I cannot say a word, explain myself. So I asked him to tell me, how can I express and how can I really wanted to share mine if this is what I'm going through? And, you know, he told me to just read the Bible. And I said, yes, but it doesn't make sense to me. And when I said, just give me at least a drop of it to understand, I just don't, it doesn't seem to go through. So I guess all of a sudden she gave me some things that I don't know how. I said, how coincident is this? But then I heard a lot of people saying, there's no coincidence. Oh, so I guess there's no more ironic about a lot of things. When I noticed that I was just talking about this, I was just asking this question, and here it is. There's a message from a pastor. There's a message from a sign of things and words that I could hear, like, don't, just commit yourself. Just adore him. Just submit yourself. Your heart of worship, just think of him only, one by one to one only, nothing else, not for you or anything. And I finally gave in that matter, and I see now, I saw a lot of fruit of it. I see the difference. And when you mean it well, without a doubt, without any skeptic, and I'm very, very skeptical type of person, and when I felt that, it just, I could talk to him anytime now. And he answers it, he gives me a light bulb daily. He gives me, and he always nudge me daily. And I guess I'm just grateful that he has that. So I don't know to others, but I do talk to him a lot, very much. And when I talk to him, I see a light bulb that comes out. So, yeah.
Amen. 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 And I think that's what we're talking about, Joan, exactly, is are we, those of us who call ourselves in relationship with God, are we talking to God constantly? And you said you do. So how about you, Dr. Lentz? How's your relationship? What does that look like with you conversing with God?
I talk with God, and I believe God talks with me and communicates with me. Sometimes it's through a message. Sometimes it's through other people. Sometimes it's through atmospheric conditions. I mean, but we need to be in relationship and in conversation with God, and a big part of that is prayer. But our prayers, sometimes we feel like we have to say thou and thee and be holy a hallowed. I mean, we feel like we have to talk in a certain way to pray to God, but God doesn't need all that. I think God can translate any kind of language, and God can translate sincerity. And when we call on God, sometimes I just say, God, help me. You know, and that was when Peter was going down, he just called out to Jesus, you know. And so it's we don't have to have long speeches sometimes to pray to God. But we do need to have a relationship with God to be able to talk with God. Otherwise, we don't know God. And, you know, but if we know God and have a relationship, then that makes all the difference in the world about our conversation with God, our communication with
Amen.
God. There's somebody that we know.
Dr. Nook, you said something that I really like for us to talk a little bit more about. And that is, you know, when people are talking to God, I think sometimes they feel as though, you know, the the formalities, and sometimes we have to realize that what God wants is just the sincerity, you know. And, you know, as we, you know, we learned that every day our goal is just to worship God, you know. That's what we're here for. So when we have that relationship, that intimacy with God, we'll find that when we talk, you know, it's, we don't have to, sometimes it's of urgency, that it doesn't have to be, and I've heard people call God, you know, you pray and Father God, and every time they address him, Father God, every time Father God or a Mother God or whatever the issue is. And I think God knows who you're talking to. I personally don't think you have to address him every time just to, you know, get it. I think God has, we have God's attention without having to do all that when we are sincere and we come to God in an humble fashion. I also think that we need to, when we come to God, we need to understand that it's, you know, it's important. It's not a playtime. And I hear people often refer to Jesus in a very informal way. And, you know, I'm not going to be the person who says how we have to address God. I'm not going to get into all of that. But I do think we have to be sincere, that God wants us to be truthful in how we come and approach, so that it's authentic. You know, we always talk about the arms too short to box with God. I think we have to be very careful that, you know, we present with sincerity and passion and love. And I don't know about you, but I'm often thinking about how important God is to me. So when I come before him, you know, I can't just do it any kind of way, any kind of place, any kind of time. And I know there's some people who will, it doesn't matter where they interact with God, but to me, it does. But, you know, what do y'all think about that? Can you interact anytime, any place? And maybe it's okay. You know, it could just be that, you know, my perspective is just out of a cultural thing. You know, I don't know. What do you all think about that? Can we approach God anytime, at any place, any situation? I don't, you know, that's interesting. What do y'all think?
This is Brian from Maine. I think yes, and I have done that since 1979, really. For me, the transformation was immediate and dramatic enough so I didn't even realize how dramatic it was until other people started noticing the change in me and telling me what they were seeing and asking me why I was acting so differently. But from that moment, I started to develop a prayer life where sometimes it's a breath prayer, other times it's just a conversation where I'm thanking him and praising him for something which is happening around me or something which I've accomplished or something which I've seen someone else do. So there are many short prayers, probably 30 to 50 throughout the day, maybe more than that. But then there's times that I want to be closer and times that I want to show more reverence. And those times I'll kneel down and I'll put myself in a quiet place and I'll kneel down and I'll just really focus and concentrate on a deeper prayer, which often goes through a number of stages as I draw close to him and bring something to him or thank him for something in a much deeper way.
Amen. I was referring, a friend of mine was sharing with me that it was not sacred to read the Quran in the bathroom. That's what I was referring to. Is there any place where, you know, we couldn't? And so that's their faith, their tradition. I just was asking, as Christians, you know, and I know we're supposed to be familiar, but I keep wanting to create this place of the way I approach God now is that I'm very conscientious about valuing it. And you're right, Brian, I agree with what you're saying about we need to be able to go to God anywhere at any time. And like James said, there are times when we don't, you know, our prayers are short, succinct, and Lord help, you know, just like with Peter. But, you know, I just wonder if we should be intentional to continue to see God as almighty and omnipotent and be, you know, reverent about how and when we approach him if we can. And I'm sure there are times when we can't, but I don't know.
Well, this is Joan from Maine.
Go ahead,
Joan. Yeah, this is Joan from Maine, and on that note, I guess it's also at the same time cultural to me, because we were brought out to respect no matter what. You have to respect your elders most especially, no matter how they are. But in the long run, it was a lot of question mark to me because some doesn't deserve it. But however that may be, the thing is always forgive. And it was very difficult to do the same thing. So there's a lot of rules that God has said, and you have to be, to me, I found out that you have to, he created us very individual, uniquely individual. And I found out that only you and God can talk about, to share that, because God created you how you are, and they're not the same with other people. So I realize now that I can only talk about mine by sharing about God, what I have experienced, because the experience is far more real than just what I heard. And
Amen.
And so that kind of like it depends on how, I guess that's between you and God, I guess, in the way, because mine is, I could argue with him, I could tell him, and sometimes he comes out with a sense of humor, and I kind of like laugh and cry at the same time.
Amen. It is that individual relationship we have, and each of us have that intimate relationship that's different. So the final thing that Rick Warren wants us to discuss is that the only way we can establish this relationship with God is by thinking about God's word throughout the day, by meditating day and night. Joshua says in the 6th chapter that, you know, that we won't stray to the right or to the left, and that we would meditate on the word both day and night. So, and as we meditate, you know, we know who God is, what God's done, what God said, what God requires, what God is looking for. But you can only do that if you read the word, which Joan says she did a long time ago, even when she didn't have full understanding, but that she was seeking God's face. And that's one of the things that Rick Warren talks about in his book, is that God has set things up so that not only can we seek him, but we can find him and God through his word. And to me, that's very exciting. How do you all value the importance of meditation on God's word? And how do you see it playing out in the life of believers towards this intimacy? Brian and James, anybody else on the line?
I could start on that one. It is what I have read. What I've learned is.
I think they were. Go ahead. I think they were on mute, Jane, Joan.
Is it a mute?
Dr. Nooks, are you there? I think you have to get off mute, and Brian. Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's important
to. Go ahead.
It's important to meditate on God's word. It's important to read God's word. That's the way we get an understanding of God. God is beyond our comprehension and understanding, but God's word helps us to understand God and what God would have us to do and what God has done for us. And it helps us to be able to exist in this world. And God has given us instruction in everything. And there's so much in God's word, if we would only read it and meditate on it. And I get something different from God's word almost every time I read it, because there's so much in it. And when God's word touches us, it affects us, and I believe it teaches us different things at different times. And our lives, our experience gets into that also. And our culture. And I mean, there's so much. I'm grateful that I can grow and look beyond my culture sometimes to really understand God's word, because my culture sometimes teaches me a certain way I'm supposed to act and supposed to be and supposed to worship. And I don't think God wants my heart and my mind and not my tradition and my culture. And it's okay, but it's not necessarily really me, because I am the product of my culture, and sometimes that shapes me and really takes from my uniqueness sometimes. And I think God wants our unique selves. You know, nobody else like Dr. Susie, nobody else like Brian, nobody else like Joe, nobody else like me, like James. But God's word is a foundation for us to have the kind of relationship that we want with God. And I mean, through God's word, God teaches us, but through God's spirit, we're taught also, and I believe God uses other people in our lives and situations in our lives to help shape us also.
True. I agree. Amen to that.
Go ahead, Joan. Did you want to share now, Joan?
Yes. It does. Linking to what James has said is, it is really a blessing to now understand the word of God, and it is now I finally, in my understanding of what I see now, the Bible is the only, what, that's why it's called holy now. I understand when it is holy. That's why it's the reverence of the Holy Bible, because it does make sense. The rules and the regulations and I mean, how will you apply it to yourself? It's all up to you. That's the one thing I like about God, is they give us the freedom to do that. You choose. You read the book, you read my word, it's up to you. And you choose. And what made me understand now also is that he let me understand that he created me even before it was, you know, before I was conceived. So apparently I'm already with him. I'm already was cultured by him to come. And then when I came to earth, so when I do wrong, it triggers me. But if I continue doing the wrong things, it blocked it hindered everything that I know that I was created by of him. Erased all that. So if you read the book and you keep reading the book and becoming, and with his, and with the prayer with him and talking to him, he does, when the time comes that he says that you're ready, he, everything just open up like a candy. And it did the Bible to me. I'd rather repeat reading the Bible for me, because I cannot memorize the whole thing yet. But if I read some of it, it's just that it's just like a food, just a food that I, it makes you content. It makes you,
amen.
It makes you, yeah. So that's how I look at this. Everything is reverent to the Holy Bible, to the Word of God, the name of Him. Everything, He is just totally to me, the way I look at it now after reading all this. He is just it. I mean, if the angels,
amen.
We always,
amen.
Look up, if the angels look up all the time to Him, like He was, He bow down, like even when they hear the name of Jesus, like He bow down, then we should be doing the same way.
And this is Dr. Susie again. I want to say this as we close, and Dr. Nix, if you would close us tonight. But I wanted to look at the idea that Job said, and the reasons why Job and David and others were so close to God is that they value God's word above everything else, and they thought about it continually throughout the day. Job said, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. David said, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it day and night. They're constantly in my thoughts. I can't stop thinking about them. And I don't know about you all, but when you love somebody, they stay in your thoughts. When you care about someone, you think of them often, you know. And I think when we can get to the place where we have that intimate relationship with God and we choose to think of God day and night. I can be in the car talking to God, and I've seen people look at me and they wonder, is she all right, you know, because I'm praying, I'm talking to God in my car, on my way, doing things, you know, God is in my heart and on my mind. And I think that's how we know, because friends share secrets. Friends are close. Friends are in the habit of thinking about one another, right? And the word of God comes through the day, and especially when we know we need to utilize that as part of the sword of the Spirit, you know, when we're going through our day, to use that to protect us and to undergird us and to be strong in our might is through the word of God. So the more you spend time reviewing what God has said, the more that you understand the secrets of the life that we live, the more you understand how we interact with one another and how people will respond to you and how God is and what God expects of us. So the Bible says friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence God. With them alone, God shares the secret of God's promises.
That's true.
So, Dr. Nook, if you will please close us today. If, you know, we have just enough time for you to say a prayer and offer, extend out an offering of relationship.
God, we thank you for the Bible study tonight. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your tolerance and your love and understanding and compassion. And God, we thank you for bearing with us even when we are unbearable. We thank you for loving us even when we are unlovable. God, we don't understand everything about you, but we're so grateful for your word. We're grateful for your spirit. We're grateful for your sacrifice, Jesus, that allows us to be a part of God. And God, we pray for our leader, Dr. Susie. We pray for those that are on the Bible study, their families, all the connections with them, their churches, all the people they touch, God, use them as a blessing as they walk each and every day. Somebody needs to hear about you. Somebody needs to see you demonstrated. God, help us to be your ambassadors as we walk, that we might display love and not anger, not hatred, not arrogance, not holier-than-thou attitude, but God's humility and love and the strength of God and the power of God. God, we pray for those that are on the line that may want to be a part of you, and perhaps they are on the fence right now, but we pray that they would come to understand through this Bible study that you love them, God, even beyond their understanding, more than their parents love them, more than anybody has ever loved them before in their lives. And we pray that they would give their lives to you right now. And if you're on the line and you want to give your life to Christ, we pray that you would pray with us. And just pray, God, I have messed up, and I'm a sinner, and I know I need you in my life. I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I believe he's at the right hand of you right now, God, pleading my case. And I need somebody to plead my case. So, God, forgive me for the wrongs that I've done. I repent of my sin. I give my life to you. I invite you into my life right now, and I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you. God, I believe in you. Help me. I love you. I give myself to you. And if you pray that prayer with me, you're saved right now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You believe that in your heart. God saves you right now. And we thank you for your dedication. We thank you for your love of God. And we pray that you would get with the church so that you can help, so that you can grow, so that church can help you to grow. God, we thank you again. Continue to bless us. We need that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God's blessings be with you. If you remember next week to join us from 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and bring a friend. God's blessings be with you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.